If you have your Bibles, you can lift it up. If not, you can just say this. Say, this is my Bible. I believe it is God Almighty in written form. And today, it went in my heart, my mind, my emotions, and my body, conforming me to the image of Jesus through Holy Spirit to the glory of Father. Amen. Hallelujah, Jesus. I tell you what, I'm just really excited. One thing I forgot to say, if you could invite somebody next Sunday, it's always good. I mean, I tell you, the presence of God is the key, and in an amazing way, like the Holy Spirit came. And I love just looking out and seeing. I mean, I looked over at some people, and their Holy Spirit was just on so strong on you guys. My goodness. And I desire to have more dreams and visions. But I had a dream in the middle of last night, and it was a message for next Sunday. And it's going to be very glorious. So, amen. So I just want to encourage you, if you can bring somebody. Amen. All right. So today we're talking about entering in to what God has for us. And today, any Sunday in January, with that dream, God gave me a message to really, I believe, help us just to enter in, just the desires fulfilled, just the increase, the blessing. And I tell you, I'm just really, really encouraged by it. So, and I want to encourage you, you know, the enemy is such a liar. And so often, he tries to tell us that we're not good enough, or we're second best, or we can't do this. You know, if we walk in humility with God and one another, in the truth of the gospel, I tell you, in our being children of God, empowered by Holy Spirit, there's no one that the devil can keep back from entering into greatness. I firmly believe that. Somebody might have a more seemly gift than somebody else. That doesn't make them in any way, shape, or form better. Whew. Oh, Jesus. Jesus. I just have it so strongly in my spirit. We have some people, usually they can't come to church because of some physical things and different things. And I tell you, they're two of the strongest intercessors I know. They pray every day for this church, for the center. And man, I tell you, they're powerhouses. And they'll be coming, being able to come to church soon. But intercession is so unappreciated so many times. But it is the foundation, glory to God. So I really want to encourage you, okay? Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So, and one of the words I had for you know, this coming year, it's a verse that's really helped me many times. It's in Galatians chapter 6. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Yes, Lord. Ooh, boy, just since Jesus. Man. Wow. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. It says, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Holy Spirit shall of the Holy Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. And I tell you what, I believe it's a time of reaping. Not that there's not challenges at times, but it's a time of reaping in a profound fashion. Okay? Glory to God. All right. If there's a title to this message, it would be simply looking at Jesus. And that's going to be the theme throughout this month. Looking at Jesus. Hallelujah. Looking unto him, the author and perfecter of our faith. Looking unto him whom the body of Christ gets all of its strength from. Looking unto him who loves to look at you, delights in you, and it's going, and really will fight for you. Okay? So looking at Jesus, glory to God. And in this context, 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verses 7 to 9, if you could go there with me. I haven't heard this preached that much, but I'm sure it is to some degree. The context is that there was a king that he was in a great battle, and he looked at Jesus and, man, gave God all the glory, even though the odds were against him. Do you feel sometimes that the odds are against you? Well, that's not a bad place to be in, because that's when God comes, right? If we think we can do everything on our own and have this, this, and that, usually it's not the best. And then there's a great victory. But then he was in another battle, and he went and tried to get a king who was very unrighteous to be with him to gain victory. Because he felt that for whatever reason, he needed to enter into an alliance with somebody that was not right. That's a dividing spirit. It's a fearful spirit. And so God, it's in this context, God says in 2 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 7. And at that time, Hananiah the prophet came to Asa, king of Judah, and said unto him, because you have relied on the king of Syria, again, he was very unrighteous, and not relied on the Lord thy God, therefore is the host of the king of Syria escaped out of thy hand. Were not the Ethiopians and the Libyans a huge host with very many chariots and horsemen? Yet because you relied on me, on the Lord, they were delivered into your hand. Here's what I want us to see. For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose hearts cry out to him. Some translation says, who are perfect towards him, just meaning that they're right towards God. We're talking about keeping our eyes on Jesus. It's so important to see, even when you feel like there's no way out, even when it doesn't feel like God is just, you know, coming through for you, to know that his eyes are going throughout the whole earth just to find his beloved, to find those who are just saying, I want more of you, Jesus. I want to give myself to you, Jesus. I want to glorify you. Just so he can manifest himself. Amen? We don't have to plead with God in the sense of trying to get him to do something. His eyes are looking for us to say, hey, everything is given to us through the blood of Jesus. Ephesians 1:3 says, we've been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And I know that your eyes are just looking at me. So my eyes will make contact with you so we can just look one another in the eyes and know that all is going to be well. Glory to God. Glory to Jesus. Sometimes people don't make contact with Jesus face to face or eye to eye because they feel unworthy. Some people, don't make contact face to face because they don't believe that it's possible to do that. God wants us to know that Jesus died so we could have a face to face relationship with him. Glory to God. There's nothing better than that in the world. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. So, and what we're going to do today is just look at some ways to keep our eyes on Jesus. Okay? Because when your eyes are on Jesus, wow. You know what's so neat? And when you see his love for you, you become confident because it's not about your strength, but his strength. Amen? Glory to Jesus. I've shared this different times. You can tell a lot about people sometimes by just looking in their eyes. And many years ago, when I was a teenager, I think I was like 16 and a half, going on 17. My mother had spinal bifida. She's in bed. It was not a good deal. I'll never forget, in my hometown, it was a good town. But there was some of the kids I was just around were just a lot of drug activity. In fact, one of my friends just right up from me, he was killed, drug dealer. Another young man just two doors up from me, I really esteemed, he was older than me, he was killed in the drug deal. And I never forget, she looked at me with these big brown eyes and just said, I want you to make a promise that you won't get involved in the drugs like, you know, these kids. And I said, okay. Now, I was not a Christian then. But I remember the one young man who got killed a few years later, you know, offering me drugs and, you know, and there's a lot going on. Sometimes you feel like you want to do drugs just to get away from things. And but I walked in victory through her eyes. In fact, at the center, when we're dealing with those who have been harmed, abused, the name of the program we have is Through His Eyes. Through His Eyes. Glory to God. But that was motivation that enabled me to overcome. The eyes of a mother that was literally dying, because I respected her, I esteemed her, and there was something in her eyes that conveyed who I was to her, and I was willing to do whatever I needed to keep that covenant, so to speak. You can make a covenant with your eyes, the Bible says. Glory to God. Okay? So it's just so powerful. Amen? Hallelujah, Jesus. All right, go with me, if you would, to Matthew 14. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Most of us know these scriptures. Peter walking on the water. Glory to God. You know, I just, so I was sharing that experience that I had. You know, about my mother, it just comes back. It just resonates after all these years. It's amazing when you catch a glimpse of the eyes of God. I tell you, it's just amazing. Matthew chapter 14, glory to God. It says, verse 25. Well, let's start with verse 24. But the ship was now in the midst of the sea. It's amazing how you see all these paintings, portraits of Jesus and, 12 apostles on this little boat. They had a ship, not a boat. You don't put 13 grown men in a little boat. In fact, the ship was so big that during the one storm, they couldn't even find him, okay? Okay, so but the ship was now in the midst of the sea, tossed with waves, for the wind was contrary. And the fourth watch of the night, Jesus went unto them, walking on the sea. And when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were troubled, saying, "It is a spirit." And they cried out for fear. But straightway, Jesus spoke unto them, "Be of good cheer. It is I, be not afraid." And Peter answered him and said, "Lord, if it be thou, permit me to come unto thee on the water." And Jesus said, "Come." You know, a lot of times we have not just because we ask not. Amen? Any of the other 11 apostles could have said, "Lord, bid me to come." But Peter was the one who said, "Lord, can I come with you to walk on the water?" Wow. That's a pretty heavy-duty request, amen? But Jesus said, "Sure." Why? Because he's so close to these guys. He's close to us. And when Peter was come down out of the ship, and probably the other 11 apostles are saying, "Here we go." Right? Yeah, Peter, you're going to step in that water and grunt, go right down, right? But he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Now, a couple of things. First of all, any of those other 11 men could have done the same thing. All they had to say is, Lord Jesus, me too. Why didn't they say it? I think they didn't say it because it was more comfortable, seemingly more safe in the ship. But if we're going to enter into victory, we need to learn how to walk on the water. Now, when you walk on the water, there's nothing for your flesh to grab a hold of. You have to trust in Jesus fully, right? Sometimes it seems safer to be in the ship. But guess what? They weren't as safe as Peter because Jesus wasn't in the ship. Amen? So, but when he saw the wind boisterous, he became afraid. And beginning to sink, he cried out saying, save me. So here's what's interesting. I don't think that the wind was blowing and it was super bad when Peter got out of the ship. But it began to get more windy. And he knew a man had died in these waters. So what did he do? He took his eyes off of Jesus. When he was looking at Jesus, he was a water walker. When he took his eyes off of Jesus, the water had dominion over him. And he began to sink. And Jesus is so good. You know, immediately Jesus stretched forth his hand and brought him, caught him and said unto him, thou of little faith, why did you doubt? And when they were come into the ship, the wind ceased. And they that were in the ship came and worshipped him, saying, of a truth, thou art the Son of God. And Jesus readily received their worship. Glory to God. But Jesus did not condemn Peter. You know what? He picked him up. He didn't let him go down and gurgle a little bit, you know, and say, yeah, I'm going to teach you a lesson not to enter into unbelief. No. And the walk back was just as good or not better than the walk out. But it shows us a very powerful principle, doesn't it? In each of our lives. Man, when our eyes are on Jesus, we can do things that are amazing. Because the Jesus that we are beholding causes us, to enter in to a place of faith and power and victory. Glory to God. Woo! And the devil knows he can't stop you when you're looking at Jesus. So what's his main strategy? To get your eyes off of Jesus. To get your eyes on they offended you. They said something bad about you that wasn't true. To get your eyes on the circumstances rather than on the word. Amen? Or to get your eyes on yourself, thinking that you have to, man, do all this, this, and this to make it happen. Glory to God. We are all called, amen, to be water walkers, okay? So, and I love what David said, I believe in Psalm 16:11. He says, I have always beheld the Lord, had him before. Well, let's look at it. This is why I think David had such favor with God. In Psalm 16, hallelujah, Jesus. Oh, glory to God. It says in verse 8, I have set the Lord always before me. Because he is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore, my heart is glad, and my glory rejoices. My flesh also shall rest in hope. Glory to God. For thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither will I suffer thy Holy One to see corruption. Now we're talking about the prophecy of Jesus. Thou wilt show me the path of life. In thy presence is fullness of joy. I tell you, I just love the presence of God that came today. He's always with us, but it was so precious today. Glory to God. So let's look at how we keep our eyes on Jesus. And some of them, you know, are simple. But simple is good. Amen? Aren't you glad that God does not make things complicated? Really, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 11, let not the simplicity that's in Christ corrupt your mind. Meaning this. Some people say, well, it's too easy just to believe and be saved. It's too easy just to believe the word and God will do this. Well, Jesus did all the hard work to make it easy. But in the natural, in one way, it's not easy because our flesh tries to make it difficult. But in one kind, you know, Jesus tries to make it simple. Believe on the Lord Jesus and you will be saved. Amen? Glory to God. So the first way to keep our eyes on Jesus is through the word. Amen? Psalm 119, 130 says, the entrance of his word gives light. So when you're reading your word, you're looking at Jesus. Because the word is Jesus, Jesus is the word. Amen? John 1, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God. The word was God. The word became flesh, John 1, 14. Whew. So when you're looking at the word, you're looking at Jesus. Hallelujah. Man, when you see the story of the prodigal son and who went away from God and entered into, man, horrible sin. But when he came back, glory to God, God forgave him. He didn't condemn him. He believed in him. He gave him the signet ring. You know what the signet ring is? In those days, when you went to buy something, they had a block of wax. And the signet ring, it was like a credit card. And you put the ring in and made an indentation of, you know, what was on the signet ring, signifying who that, you know, it belonged to. Wow. He trusted him when he came back. Wow. Man alive. And here's with me. As long as someone is humble and not, man, degrading people and thinking they're better than other people, man, I don't care how many times they fall, I will work with them. But man, I'll be honest with you, if someone's arrogant and just, you know, that's another story. But I tell you what, whoo, hallelujah, Jesus. Isn't it awesome when you see that? That's Jesus. Jesus said, you see me, you see the Father. You see the Father, you see me. Man alive. First of all, if I was that father, be honest with you, when that son came and said, give me half my inheritance, I would have said, really? I would have said, there ain't a chance in the world. I'm giving you a penny. How stupid do you think I am? But you see, God let him enter in the doing this because he was more concerned about him learning who he was than keeping the money. That's why the gifts and callings of God are irrevocable. Isn't that amazing? Glory to God. When he came back, man, he was a different man, wasn't he? Glory to God. But when he came back, man, he had been in a pig pen for how long? Days. He had to smell like, oh my gosh. And Jesus, you know, the Father just embraced him. He didn't say, go take a shower, change your clothes and come out and I'll give you a hug. He embraces us, accepts us like we were. Glory to God. And he trusted him with a signet ring, killed the fatted calf. Wow. So I want to encourage you, honestly, do not ever minimize who you are. Holy Spirit will come to you. And everyone here has come to you. And he will give you revelation on the word of God just like he did to Jesus. Not because who you are, but because of who Jesus is. And because Jesus has given you his righteousness. whereby Holy Spirit now can confirm you because you qualify through the righteousness of Jesus because he gave you his righteousness. Amen? Glory to God. You don't go in and say, well, I know God's going to reveal the word to me because I had 10 great days. And you know what? Like the Pharisee said, I'm better than 90% of the people. So God's going to reveal the word to me. You know what you're going to get? Nothing. But if you go in the word and say, Lord, because of Jesus, grace for grace, because of Jesus, because I'm a joint heir with him. Woo! When he was on the earth, through his righteousness, his purity, his hunger, he entered into qualifying for the revelation of Holy Ghost. And it was in his count. And now when I accepted you, Lord Jesus, your account is now mine. It's a joint account. So I'm going to receive as well. So I would encourage you, as never before, to enter in to the word and write out or however you want to do it, just have those verses that God has, man, your favorite verses that God himself has revealed to you. Keep them before your eyes. Speak them daily. Man, I tell the Lord, I tell my own soul, and I tell the devil, every demon in hell, every angel, Romans 8:15, Galatians 4:6, because I'm a child of God. Woo! The Spirit of God has come into my heart, crying, Abba, Father. Because I'm a child of God, I'm a joint heir with Jesus. Because I'm a child of God, I have victory. Because I'm a child of God, I have the Spirit of His Son that causes me to enter in to having His faith, Galatians 2:20, His love, Romans 5:5. Ooh, glory to God. Sometimes I really feel like it when I say it. Sometimes I don't feel nothing, but I keep saying it because I know it's true. Amen? Whew, and I tell you what, it's just like, it's eating of Jesus. You know, in the Ark of the Covenant, there's three things, 10 commandments, the golden jar of manna, and Aaron's rod that budded. The Ten Commandments represent Jesus making you righteous. The commandments fulfilled in Jesus. The golden jar of manna is your ability to eat of him through his word, his presence. And Aaron's rod that budded means that it produces fruit supernaturally. Glory to God. Hallelujah, God. Ooh, hallelujah, Jesus. And I tell you, I just feel like the Lord's saying, this new year, you've got much of it, but we're going to enter into more as never before. So faith through his word. Glory to God. Second is redemption. Time goes so quick. Redemption. You know, I'm writing a book. I hope I'll get it finished soon. It's called How Much Did Jesus Suffer? You know, just the top of God's love for you. Because when you see how much he suffered for you, you know of your value to him. Amen? And it's just amazing. And I'm learning just by, as never before, seeing that just the degree he suffered for us. You know, his scourge, his crucifixion, what it meant for him who knew no sin to become sin, that enables us to become the righteousness of God. Let's go to Psalm 22:1 and just look at one thing regarding redemption. And we know that Psalm 22 is, you know, the most graphic description of a crucifixion you'll ever find. You know, it talks about, you know, him being pierced, of course. It talks about him just struggling. It says in verse 14, I'm poured out like water. All my bones are out of joint. That's what happens when you're crucified. My heart is like wax. It is melted in the midst of my bowels. That's how you die at crucifixion. You die from suffocation because you try to continue to lift yourself up by your legs and then you run out of energy and you die. But in Psalm 20, there's so much here. In Psalm 22:1, it says, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me and from the words of my roaring? Jesus, at that moment, the Father looked at Jesus and saw him as the sacrifice for sin. And Jesus, he saw him as the sin offering. He saw them as taking our sin upon himself. And because of that, there was a Jesus experienced separation with the Father for the first time since eternity. And he screams out. Wow, when you're the closer you are with somebody, the more separation hurts. I'll never forget, we had a young college girl student living with us. And her dad was just not a good guy. He was an alcoholic. And, you know, we got word that he died. And, of course, she cared about him in one way, but her emotions were like, there's hardly no relationship there. At the same year, I had a Bible study. And a young man that was, we had the Bible study in his room, he was a freshman, very close with his dad. And his dad had a heart attack. He's only like 42. And this kid felt, it so impacted him. He fell to pieces, and it was hard just helping him pick up the pieces. The closer you are to someone, the harder it is when separation takes place. Okay? So redemption is the key. Number three is prayer. Glory to God. In prayer, we're going to look at three things. And, you know, a lot of people get confused with prayer because they think prayer is just prayer. But just like sports aren't just sports, you know, if you take basketball, you have to dribble right on the court. But if you're playing football, you don't dribble the football. You know, sports aren't just sports. There's at least 9 different types of prayer. They all have different purposes, different rules. You know, the prayer of consecration, you have to pray with an if. Lord, if it be thy will, take this cup from me. If it be thy will, I'll go to Egypt. If it be thy will, I'll do whatever you want me to do. Amen? I'll live where you want me to live. Do what you want me to do. The prayer of consecration, you have to have an if in it. The prayer of faith, you cannot have an if in it because it will nullify your faith. Jesus never prayed when he was going to change something and say, okay, there's a leper. Father, heal them if it be thy will. Never, ever, 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 ever. Because faith begins where the will of God is known. It's not something that might be true. It's not something that is true sometimes and not at other times. It's true. Glory to God. Faith begins where the will of God is known. Okay? So, prayer, first of all, it obviously, it's in the context of the Word of God. We don't pray about things in the context of trying to find out God's will when his will is already written down. Amen? But next, prayer is when you express your heart. It's expressing your heart to God. From simple things to big things. You know, you're allowed to say, and that's why we love the Psalms. You know, David saying, hey, I'm in covenant with you. I'm laying down my life for you. And here's a guy over here. He's not under covenant. He's evil. And it looks like he's prospering more than I am. He's just sharing his heart. But then he comes back and says, but Lord, I know. I got more than that guy will ever have. And I know that he's going to fall and you're going to raise me up. Amen? There's always 3 parts to almost all the Psalms. He shares his heart, then shares about him knowing the provision of God and the outcome. So we share our heart with God. Small things to big things. And some things we say, Lord, I'll be honest with you, I don't understand why that happened. And God comes to us and comforts us. And we say, I don't understand this, Lord, but I believe you. I believe you. But we share our heart with God. If you don't share your heart with God, then things are going to build up and you can get angry at God. Someone said, who's the person that the people are angry at most? It's God. Because the devil comes and says, well, God doesn't love you as much as him because this didn't happen or this isn't happening or whatever. We just need to share our hearts with God many times and say, Lord, I don't understand something. Why does this take it longer than I thought? Let Jesus come to us. Let him answer questions. Amen? Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hannah, 1 Samuel 1. She was saying, I just don't understand. You know, in those days they had more than one wife. Why? Man, I'm walking with you in covenant. And you know, things aren't happening like I thought. And God answered her because she shared her heart. Glory to God. And it was John G. Lake. He had a minister of the gospel. He's also a medical doctor. Back when the bubonic plague was going on. And man, he lost a lot of his siblings, the disease. And finally, he just got honest with God and said, Lord, what's going on here? What's going on, God? Why is this happening? And God answered him and said, you know what? The enemy's come to kill, rob, and destroy, but I've come to give life. But if you don't share your heart with God, amen? So first sharing your heart with him, okay? Glory to Jesus. Second, when you are in prayer, God's going to begin to take over your heart and your mind. Amen? A lot of times people ask, you know, do you just hear God like an audible voice or just his voice regarding direction? And I'll be honest with you, obviously I sense God speak to me certain things, but a lot of times it's not him speaking to me as much as it is him just bearing witness with me. And it just kind of, his will just takes over my spirit that just affects my mind. Man, years ago, you know, I thought that God was calling Kathy and I to Egypt. I know, in Middle East. And I just tried to get the mind of the Lord. And it took a while, to be honest with you, because I was not willing. She's like Mrs. Willing, you know what I'm saying? Seriously. She's like, sure, let's go. And like, wait a second. I mean, we have kids, we have, you know, girls, that's tough to live there. And I'll be honest with you, I was not willing. But after I said, okay, it took a while, I won't tell you how long. I said, I'm willing to be willing. And then I just began to seek God. And God just took over my spirit and said, no, I want you to be here. In the States as a missionary here. Okay, not that Kathy has been to China, Hong Kong stuff, and we obviously were missions oriented worldwide, but amen. So it's just, so it's exciting when you're praying and just telling God how you love him and engaging him and worshiping him. Things just happen in your spirit. And you begin to know in your heart what the will of God is. Amen. That's exciting. And third, this is a really neat verse. I believe it's in Isaiah 62. Let's go with me there. And it's like, we're watchmen on the wall. We're praying for things to happen. Isaiah 62, 6. I've set watchmen upon the walls, O Jerusalem, which shall never hold their peace day or night. They make mention of the Lord. Oh, it's so awesome. And they do not keep silent. They give God no rest till he establishes, until he makes Jerusalem a praise in the earth. What's it saying? There's people, and we should all enter into this spirit saying, you know what? God, I'm believing for my family. I'm believing for my church. I'm believing for my community. I'm believing for my nation, my world. Right now, 2024. Some people say you shouldn't be political from the pulpit. I'm saying, no, you need to be. I'm going to cry out for righteous leaders that are pro-life and don't destroy babies in the womb. I'm going to cry out for leaders who do not believe in gender change and destroying kids. I'm going to cry out for righteousness. Now, no one politician is going to be perfect, to say at least, but God is able. But we need to cry out. Someone says, well, God will just do what he wants to do. That is such a lie. You don't work, you don't eat. You don't say, you know, I'm not going to work the next month, but God will just do what he wants. You know, you're going to be hungry. No, God just doesn't do what he wants. A lot of times God does what you want. Man, God told Israel, hey, you shouldn't have a king, I'm your king. And they said, we want a king. He said, okay. But God especially hearkens unto the cry of his people. When we say, God, we want your will on earth. Prayer keeps your eyes on Jesus. Amen? Amen. Hallelujah, God. Ooh, glory to Jesus. And again, I just love it. God speaks when you're in prayer. It's an awesome thing. Hallelujah. Next, intimacy keeps our eyes on Jesus. Now, I shared the story of how I ever come. I was not a Christian at all. I never even heard of Jesus. I went to a church where it was just, I hated it. It was just, tradition stuff. But I really never heard of the real Jesus. But that was enough, more than enough, to keep me from drugs. Intimacy. Glory to God. It's all about intimacy. Man, being willing to do whatever it takes to honor God. Amen? To do whatever it takes to be obedient to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to your name. Go with me to 2 Samuel 23, if you would. And while you're turning there, Jesus himself in John 14, 31, he said, I go to the cross. Well, we know he went to the cross to die for us, but also he says, I go to the cross that the world may know that I love the Father. And even as he has given me commandments, so I do. Wow. Glory to God. That's John 14, 31. And John 14, 21, it says, he who has my commandments, most of it's the commandments of love, and keeps them, that's the one that loves me. And I will sup with him and love him, and I will manifest myself to him. It's about intimacy. Amen. Every time there's a trial, man, it's about intimacy. Keeping covenant with God, keeping covenant, man, with your spouse, keeping covenant with your family, keeping covenant with those who, man, there are so many people, and man, they're covenant breakers in the last day. It's keeping covenant. So in 2 Samuel 23, it's amazing. It talks about some of the things David's mighty men did. It's amazing what they did. And these men, the Bible said, man, they were not the most likely to succeed in their class. Let's put it that way. And they were people that nobody thought could rise above anything. But they spent time with David. And man, they entered doing greater works than David did. And he talks about, different men that did this. And it says these are the names of the mighty men, 2 Samuel 23:8, who David had. And it talks about chief among the captains was Adino the Eznat, who lifted up his spear against 800 men at one time. How's that possible? You got 800 men, and you got one spear, and you destroy the 800 men. It's not possible in the natural. The same Spirit of God that came on David to kill the lion and the bear came upon him because they got the revelation that if it came on, he came on David, he will come on them. Amen? Glory to Jesus. And then it talks about the other, you know, mighty men of God slewing lions in a snowy pit and on. Oh my God, just amazing things. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And it says, oh my gosh, there's so much here. But it says this in verse 14. And David was held up, and the Philistines had control of Bethlehem. That's interesting. And David longed and said to himself, I would give anything for a drink from the well, the water of the well that's in Bethlehem, which is by the gates. And his three mighty men were so close to him. They heard of what he was thirsting for. God wants us to be so close to him that we hear what he needs. And rather than us just wanting our needs met, we first want his needs met. When you put his needs first, seeking first the kingdom, all other things will be added to you, right? Glory to Jesus. The three mighty men, they broke through the host of the Philistines. It was well guarded. And drew water out of the well of Bethlehem that was by the gate, took it and brought it to David. Nevertheless, he would not drink of it, but poured it out unto the Lord. For he said, drink this when these men risk their lives. Verse 17. And went in jeopardy of their own lives to die just to get me a drink. Therefore, he would not drink it. But you see, these men, man, they lived to fulfill the needs of David. It's a type. We live, amen, to minister to the needs of God through our obedience, even when it's hard, to worship when it's a sacrifice, to share the gospel, hallelujah, to fulfill the Great Commission, laying hands on the sick, having them recover, entering into bringing deliverance to the captive. Glory to God. Binding up the brokenhearted. Hallelujah, Jesus. So what happens, God, with all of this is that our eyes are on Jesus. Wow. It's amazing to me. Man, what love it truly entails. It is so amazing, and you guys are the foundation of this church. It's amazing just to be with one another so we can grow in this together. I'll never forget, years ago, I met a man, his name was C. Paul. He was in one of the heads of the underground church in Cambodia. After the church was, man, it was devastated by a ruler that came in years ago. And the man who led him to the Lord, his name was Todd Burke. And he was at a good church in Pittsburgh, so Kathy and I went to hear him. And I'll never forget his testimony. Todd had prayed for him. He was a missionary to Cambodia. He wrote a book, and there was a revival that broke out right before the Khmer Rouge took over Cambodia. A lot of Christians were harmed. And Todd had prayed for Sipal. He was on his deathbed. I mean, just not just days to live, but minutes to live. And God raised him up, basically raised him from the dead. But he entered in. He had such a love for Father, such a love for God. And because he was a very educated man, when the Khmer Rouge came, they imprisoned him. And what they would do, would, you know, they interrogated him to try to get him, you know, to come over to the other side. And long story short, he was in a prison. And they would give you just scraps of food to eat, you know, some bread and some water, you know, for the whole day. And he was literally in chains. And he would, with his head, just the food and the water, he would put the food and the water to another prisoner close to him. And he would not eat so that other prisoner could survive. And he was dying. And he said every day he would sing and worship. And the song he would sing is way back in the day. I've got a river of life flowing out of me. Causes the lame to leap and the blind to see. And he would just worship with Jesus every day. You have to understand, he hadn't eaten in weeks. I don't know how he survived. And he said when he knew that there's only days to live, he worshiped as never before. And he would not eat because he said, I would rather this person beside me who's not saved survived and see the goodness of God in the land of the living rather than me, because I know where I'm going. And he said there was somehow, there was mercenaries that somehow broke through the prison. And the one guy carried him literally just for miles over, I think it was like a 3-day period. And he was freed. But man, when you talk with him, it was so precious. He was somebody that would quote the scriptures. Someone that would worship. Someone that kept his eyes on Jesus. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's a privilege when you're going through a challenge to keep your eyes on Jesus. Glory to God. It's a privilege. Sometimes it's difficult. But when we keep our eyes on Jesus, I just want to share a few things before we close. Strength that's within you through Holy Spirit begins to rise. When you keep your eyes on Jesus, there's a oneness that exists between you and him. Because you make a decision. Yeah, it's difficult. You make a decision. But to say, you know what, Lord? It might be challenging right now. But there's one thing I'm not going to do. I'm not going to take my eyes off of you. And the devil comes and says, man, like he said to Job, you know, and Job better than these things because the Bible says the things he feared came upon him. But he went through it, and that's why he was a great man. But the bottom line is, you know, the devil comes and says, how can you keep your eyes on Jesus? Doesn't it look like he's abandoned you? Doesn't it look like he didn't come through? Doesn't it look like this and doesn't it look like that? And you look him right in the eye. I know he's faithful by the blood of his son. And he's so precious to me. I said, he's so precious to me. I can't take my eyes off of him. I guarantee you the devil will flee. Someone says, how fast does the devil flee? At the speed of light. When light comes, he's gone. I can't take my eyes off of you. Wow. To me, I'll be honest with you. It's not about big fancy buildings. It's not about this or that. That to me is the gospel more than anything. We love him because he first loved us. We can't take our eyes off of him because even when he was on the cross, he couldn't take his eyes off of us. He said, for the joy set before me, I will endure this. And the Bible teaches emphatically that you and I were that joy. Glory to God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. And again, I keep getting 2 Chronicles 16:7. One of the ways that we minister to the Lord most is by letting him bless us. No, it's not saying, oh, Lord, I'm too unworthy. That's ridiculous. He's made us worthy. One of the main ways we can minister to him is by receiving the blessings that he died to give us. So this year, I believe God's going to cause us to enter into these blessings. Hallelujah. If it's been good, it's going to get better. If it's better, it's going to get best. If it's best, it's going to get bestest. Okay? That's not a word, but we're going to get it. All right? If you're listening to my voice today and you're not saved, and you think God is a God with a big stick that's waiting to hurt you, maybe you've been hurt by Christians. Maybe you've been hurt by somebody in a leadership in a church that they're really not walking with God. Maybe you've been hurt and you're blaming God. Maybe there's been abuse. God wants you to know. He's the God who weeps for you. He's the God who died to free you. He's the God who's there for you now. The Bible says with the rich young ruler, even when he said, no, I'm not going to follow you, the Bible says Jesus has looked at him and loved him. Don't be like the rich young ruler at that time. Receive his love right now, even through the glory of his eyes, because his eyes are on you right now, watching to see where you will put your trust. Just say, Lord Jesus, right now, I want you. I want 2024 to be the year that I walk in freedom, in salvation, in intimacy with you. Forgive me of my sins. Come into my life. And if you're a Christian and you strayed away, God's saying, I'm not here to condemn you. I'm here to help you. And he will. Look into his eyes through the word of God, through the story of the prodigal, and just say, Lord, you know my heart. I'm coming back. Jesus, and for us here today, I would encourage you. You have great hearts. You wouldn't be here today if you didn't. I would encourage you. The best is yet to come. Why? Because God's heart, it's for you as never before. And we're going to enter in. Even today, I keep going back to the presence of God was so strong. I'm going to tell you something. Holy Spirit is just saying, it's a time of reaping. It's a time of being strong even when you feel weak, and we all do. It's a time of the heart of God to be manifested to you and for you and through you.